I'm thankful for the opportunity to open up the Word with you this morning and to discuss again this wonderful book of Proverbs. But this wonderful book of Proverbs that we're saying has the theme that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we talk about wisdom in Proverbs, we're not talking just about learning how to live life in a way that maybe helps you make a lot of money or helps you be successful at work. Those things may or may not be accurate. But the idea of having a relationship with God, and that's the fear of the Lord. Because as we've talked about repeatedly, the fear of the Lord is what? It's first of all a reverence for God. It's not this idea that God's going to zap me, but it's this idea that God is wonderful and I bow before Him and I worship Him. It's a reverence for God, but not just any kind of reverence. It's based on a relationship with God. It's those of us who have put faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We know Him and we worship Him. It's based on a relationship and it's expressed in submission to God. And that's why we come this morning. Those of us who know Christ, we have the relationship. We've come to bring Him reverence as we listen to the Word and then submit to the teaching of the Word. I put Proverbs 9:10 up there before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, or knowledge of the Holy One. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to know Him. It's all about relationship. You've heard this before said in different ways. Christianity is not merely a religion, and it's certainly not rules. It's a relationship. It's knowing God through Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And this morning, we'll be considering together the topic of welcoming wise instruction. So I was prayerfully trying to decide what to preach on now that we're topical, now that we've gotten out of those first introductory 10 chapters of Proverbs. We've been basically talking about attributes of God. Now we're transitioning into things that we need to understand so that we can live out our Christianity in a way that would glorify Jesus Christ. So as I'm prayerfully trying to decide what to preach on, it begins to dawn on me as I'm reading through Proverbs repeatedly that no matter what we consider, whether we look at passages on friends or family or finances, none of it's of any value unless we're willing to receive it. We could have all of the best instruction in Proverbs that the world would want us, or that God rather would want us to have. But if my heart's not open, if I don't welcome it, then in my life personally, it's of no value. I was asked recently this new school year to address the faculty at Bob Jones University, where most of you know I teach, and I'm very thankful to be there as a professor. So the provost asked me a number of months ago, he said, Greg, would you be willing to address the faculty? And he explained why, and he explained what he wanted me to speak on. And I said, that's very kind, and I appreciate you bringing that up, but I just as well pass. And I said, maybe somebody else I think would be better. And he said, well, no, I'd really like you. And we talked a little more. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not so sure. I said, I don't mean to be unkind, but I said, there's people there older than I am. There's people there that have taught longer than 20 years. 20 years might be a lot, but there's many there that have been there much longer than that. And I said, why don't you ask somebody else? But thank you. It was kind of you to offer. And he said, well, would you pray about it? And I said, OK, I'll pray about it. And I prayed very briefly and I prayed a little bit. And then I said, OK. And I decided rather than telling him no, I just forget about it and not get back with him. And then he'll ask someone else and we'll be fine. Well, he checked back with me, and then I said, okay. I said, I will pray about it. He said, well, would you give me a deadline when you'd let me know by? And I said, sure. And so I gave him the deadline, and I called him up, and I said, I've prayed about it. I really think that you should ask someone else. And he said, no, I'd like you to. And I had prayed and come to the decision that if he asked again, I would do it. Because speaking in front of a group like that, you know, I'm very aware of that there's a lot of English faculty, and every grammatical error that I make, they'll note. There are speech faculty, and every time I use an illustration improperly or fail to breathe properly from down here, and I forget, and then they'll be noting that, and just those types of things. So here I am, speaking with them, and I want to have a PowerPoint presentation. And I'm working on my PowerPoint slides, and they're not really coming together the way I'd like them to. I'm not really that good in PowerPoint. I certainly don't do this art. We have artists here that do this for us. And then to save me time, I appreciate our secretary so much. I just give her the outline, and she puts it up there for me, which I greatly appreciate. Well, I'm doing my slide presentation, and there's a couple things I'm just not sure how to do. And so I speak with one of the faculty members, a former student of mine, a young lady. And I say, I have some PowerPoint questions. Can you help me out? She said, sure, Dr. Mazak. She said, just let me know when you have your slides together, and we'll go through it together. And so she came to my office, and I showed her. I said, I'm having trouble getting the slide to do this, and I'm getting trouble with having trouble with the motion here. And so she showed me how to fix it. And then she said, can I make a few other comments that may be helpful? And I said, well, of course you can. And she said, I noticed a couple of your slides are kind of wordy. And really what we teach in the class, I've never had PowerPoint in class. When I was in school, there was no PowerPoint. Okay? Now, some of you are thinking, when you were in school, there were no computers. Well, there were. They were just very large. Okay? It was right before the PC was about to come out. So she said, you know, we normally teach that in a main heading in PowerPoint, you want to stick to about 7 words max. You don't want to go beyond that. And I said, well, that makes sense. I guess I didn't think about that. And so she gave me a number of points that were very helpful. Now, I took what she gave me and I implemented it. I changed a number of things. You say, why? Because she was criticizing in a positive way my PowerPoint slides. And I was thankful. My attitude is, I want to do the best I can in everything I do. I certainly am very open to admit that there are many people that are better than I am at just about everything I do. Same with you. So if there's a person who focuses on a certain area and is willing to criticize me in a positive way, I'm open. Talk to me. I welcome your help. And she gave me help. And thankfully, when I was finished, I had a number of positive comments. A few people even said, you're fairly good at PowerPoint. And I said, well, I don't know about that. But I had good help. See, I welcomed, at least in that instance, wise instruction. Proverbs has a lot to say about welcoming wise instruction. And the first thing we'll consider this morning involves the blessings of receiving instruction. You say, what do you mean the blessing of receiving instruction? Turn to Proverbs chapter 12, please, and we'll look at verse 1. Very simple, this message this morning, on how we need to be open to God's Word, open to the teaching and preaching of God's Word, open to other Christians who have positive things that we can gain from. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, whoever loves discipline or instruction, it says in the King James, loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. I remember once I was reading this in our family Bible time, and our girls were young. They're in the nursery, which is probably good because they would be embarrassed. And one of my daughters said, Dad, read it for real. And I said, what do you mean? Dad, the word stupid is not in the Bible, Dad. Read it for real. I said, I am. He who hates... And she said, let me see, Dad. And I said, there. And she went, okay. Okay? Because in our house, we're not allowed to call each other stupid. That's on the list of words we're not allowed to use. But the Bible says, New American Standard, he who hates reproof is stupid. King James has brutish. You say, what's going on here? Okay, let's review a little bit together. First of all, the idea of love-hate. Love here is not the idea of sentimental attraction, Valentine's Day stuff. Hate is not the idea of I hate you so much. Love is the idea of to choose. Hate is the idea of to reject. The person who chooses instruction, the word can be translated either instruction or discipline. You say, how do you know what's the better translation? Well, either way works, but remember we're dealing in Proverbs with Hebrew poetry. It's parallelism. Notice, please, the word instruction or discipline is parallel with reproof. So in this verse, it's very legitimate to translate it discipline, in the sense of corrective instruction or reproof. It's the idea of admonition or chastisement, correction. The person who chooses corrective discipline or instruction, what happens? He chooses, he loves knowledge. He is a person who will increase in knowledge. And knowledge here is not merely the idea of intellectual information, but knowledge is antithetical to being brutish, or if you prefer, the end of the verse, stupid. So we're talking with the word stupid, not about an intellectual deficit. We're talking about a moral deficit. The person who does not accept correction is morally stupid or brutish. One translation puts it this way: whoever hates correction is like a dumb animal. So because of that, the word instruction or knowledge, the word knowledge in verse 1 actually deals with spiritual knowledge. Question, guys, how do we grow in spiritual knowledge? Answer, we choose to welcome spiritual correction. We come to people that have known Christ longer. Some of you have known Christ longer than I've been alive. We come to people that have been saved longer than us, that have walked with Christ longer than some of us have. And when they share with us ideas on how we can walk closer to God, how we can serve Christ more faithfully, we say, I'm open. I welcome your contribution. Because the Bible teaches that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. We must be open to what the Lord would have us to know. How do you respond to preaching? When you listen to, not just me, Pastor Custer, Pastor Ward, other contexts, how do you respond to a man who stands up and preaches the Word? Do you pray, Lord, speak to me through the Word? Help me to know if what he's saying is true, right? Because if I'm just giving ideas, that's not necessarily worth anything. But if I'm preaching the Word, are you praying, Lord, help me to know it. I want to grow. Help me to be convicted. I want to change. Are you doing that? I listen to pastor preach more than I preach, and I pray. Most of the times, I don't want to say every sermon, I'm sure there are times I forget, but I pray for pastor as he preaches, and I pray, Lord, speak to me. I want to become more like Christ. Change me. You say, is it happening? Not nearly as quickly as it should. Pastor was preaching, though, just last week, I think, 2 weeks ago, again, on one of his favorite topics, on heaven. And I'm listening to pastor preach, and he preaches something I've heard many, many times, that heaven's forever, and being with Christ is wonderful, and that's what matters, and we're just pilgrims. I've heard him say that 100 times. And maybe just a little bit at a time, it's infecting me and affecting me. And I was even talking to someone recently about this. I love to work around the house. I love to work in the yard and things like that. And there's probably different reasons for this. But I was telling my wife just recently, I said, I just don't like it as much as I used to. I never want to become a lazy person, but I used to get excited about projects around the house. And I'm just, I don't know, it's just not there as much. And I find myself sometimes actually thinking as I'm painting something, you know what, it's all going to burn. And it's all going to be gone. And I landscape in the yard. And I enjoy that probably more because I like being outside. But I still think, you know, the weeds come back. And in the big picture, it doesn't matter. But one day I'm going to be with Christ. And that's forever. And how many times have I heard pastor preach? God matters and people matter. And they matter more than anything else. And everything else is just things. And it's not wrong to work on your house. And it's not wrong to landscape. And I enjoy those kinds of things. But I think, you know, maybe God's answering my prayer when I say, Lord, use pastor's preaching to change me. And I'm finding the things that used to bring me a lot of joy. I don't hate them, but they're just not bringing me as much joy anymore. I'm wondering, is that God changing me through the preaching of Pastor Custer as he preaches the Word? Not his words, but God's words. The Holy Spirit illumining my mind to the Word. That's the heart of Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline, let's welcome it. Loves spiritual knowledge. Lord, I want to grow. I want to be more like you. Instruction, it leads to knowledge. It does more than that. Number two, instruction leads to wisdom. Not only knowledge. Some of you would say we need more than knowledge. We need wisdom. And you're absolutely correct. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9, please, and verse 9. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. None of us ever gets to the place where we say, I am so wise, I don't need any more instruction. The heart of a wise man is someone who says, I want even more. Because I want to become even more wise. In fact, go up to verse 8, and just a quick verse ahead of that. Verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer, he will hate you. But look at the second half of verse 8. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. If I'm truly a wise person, you ought to be able to come up to me and reprove me, admonish me, or correct me. And I am so glad that you took the time to do it that I find myself choosing to love you. Wow. I'm not sure that's always how we respond. But that's how a wise person responds. You say, why would you love someone who convicts you? Because hopefully they're helping you to do what you want to do anyhow, which is glorify God, right? Guys, what must be our passion in life? Bringing glory to the one who hung naked on that tree for our sin. That should be all that we ultimately care about. And if you come up to me and help me do a better job, I ought to be saying thank you. I grew up playing football, and for some of you, I was blessed yesterday. I was talking to a brother in his 80s, and he said, you know, football is my favorite sport. And I was just blessed, and we were talking about football a little bit. I enjoy playing football. I obviously am older now. We don't play as much, but I still enjoy it. When I was young, I used to be a fullback. Now, we used to have midget league. We called it 5th and 6th grade, and then 7th and 8th grade, lightweights, heavyweights. When I was a 5th grader, I wasn't good enough to be a fullback because there were 6th graders. But next year, when I was 6th grade, I was the older guy, so I got to play fullback. Same with 7th, 8th grade league. When I was 7th grade, I couldn't play fullback, but when I was in 8th grade, I could. I loved playing fullback, loved running with the ball. And I can remember the coach coming up to me and saying to me, Mazak, I don't want you to ever fumble. I'm going to teach you how to never fumble. And I said, okay. He said, you never grab the ball from the quarterback. You receive the ball from the quarterback. You put your arms like this and the quarterback will place the ball in your arms. You never grab it. You'll fumble. I said, yes, coach. He said, furthermore, when you receive the ball, you always receive it with the inside arm up. If the quarterback's on this side of me and I take my arms and I go like this, my elbow will knock the ball out of his hands. You always put the inside arm up, and he has a nice place to put the ball. I said, all right. He said, keep both arms on the ball while you pass through the line of scrimmage. You're going to be hit. Don't fumble. And he said, occasionally, now I'm not a fast guy, occasionally you might break open. You immediately head for one of the sidelines and you put the ball in the outside arm. And if you get hit, you'll fumble out of bounds. And to this day, I'm still watching some college games and even pro games of guys who get paid millions of dollars. And I watch them fumble in bounds because the ball's in the wrong hand. I think you should have listened to Coach Thomas. All right. I learned that in sixth grade. Now, here's my point. And you say, why? Okay, here's my point. When Coach Thomas said, Mazak, you know, they never called you by your first name. You know, Mazak, they never even spoke to you gently. It was more of, did I ever get angry at my coach? Did I ever say, Oh yeah? You must hate me, don't you? Always putting down my ball carrying coach. You don't love me. I never said that to him. Because guys, we're on the same team. The coach wanted me not to fumble. He wanted me to score. He was helping me. He was being my friend. I could have said, he's always putting me down. But I was convinced that he wanted to help me. That's the spirit of a wise person who accepts discipline. It's a person who says, talk to me. And if I could change how I glorify God so I can do better, I'm open. Help me. Because we're all on the same page, right? All of us, all we want to do is bring glory to God. That's the heart of a wise person. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13, please. We'll see something very similar here in a father-son context. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. When a dad disciplines, convicts, corrects, instructs his son, what does the son do? The bottom line is that child a wise child? A wise son says, thank you, Dad. Thank you. I will profit from your instruction. I remember one Saturday morning, my dad was in town. We were working around the house. This was before we had children, a long time ago. It was our first house. I think I was cleaning the gutters out. Maybe my dad was just helping me with yard work. I had finished the gutters almost all the way. Probably 15 more minutes, I'd be finished. And a friend dropped by. He pulled his car in the driveway. We hadn't been living there long. He said, hey, I thought this is where you lived. I just wanted to come and say hi. And we visited a few minutes. And as we were talking, I just had a little more work. I thought I could finish it. Then we could sit down and talk and relax. So I started moving the ladder. And the friend was moving his car or something like that. And my dad said, what are you doing? I said, I'm moving the ladder. He said, why? I said, because I was going to finish that real quick. He said, I thought you had company. I raised you better than that, son. Spend time with your company. I went, okay. He was right. I was wrong. I have thought of those simple words of rebuke many times. When I've been in the middle of maybe hanging sheetrock or painting or working on the truck, and all of a sudden the phone rings or there's a knock at the door or something. And I thought, am I going to finish this project? And then I thought my dad, I could hear my dad saying, I raised you better than that, son. And I thought, whoops. Greg, just put it away. It doesn't matter. People matter. God matters. Sheetrock doesn't matter. Paint doesn't matter. Grass doesn't matter. Trucks don't matter. It doesn't matter. If you never finish waxing it, who cares? But that person's going to live somewhere forever. That's my dad that encouraged me with that. Now, when he said it, it didn't sound encouraging. It was rebuking. But I deserved the rebuke. And I hope by God's grace it's been helpful to me, even in a simple way. I won't have you turn to other texts. I'll read a few. Proverbs 8:33. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. You want to be wise? Heed instruction. Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commands. You want to be a wise person? Receive commands. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. If I want to be a wise person, what will I do? I will listen to counsel and accept discipline. Because if I don't accept it, it's not valuable. I was so blessed by a young lady who came by to speak with me. She said, Dr. Mazak, could I talk a little bit? I said, what's up? She said, I've been dating this guy for many years, and we're planning on getting married, but my dad, I think, is going to make me break up with him this weekend. I said, okay, what's up? She said, my boyfriend just admitted to me that he struggles with internet immorality, and it's huge. And I told my dad, and my dad said, this is not the kind of guy that you're allowed to marry. Give me a couple days to pray about it, but I think I'm going to have you break up with him. And I have my dad's permission to talk with you. What do you think? I just opened up the scripture. You want to honor God? You submit to your parents. I said, what do you think? And that quickly she said, you know what I think. That's exactly what I will do because I am going to honor God and I know that's right. I just wanted to be encouraged. I said, what are you going to do if your dad tells you you have to break up with him and you can't marry him? She says, it'll be fine. God will take care of me. I'll be sad, but I'll get over it and God will bless me. I said, praise God. I said, you have been a blessing to me. I talked to so many young people that lack the wisdom that you have. I said, would you do me a favor? After your dad talks to you, would you please shoot me an email and let me know how it goes? Well, that was towards the end of a week. That Monday, I believe it was, I had an email in my inbox. I clicked and there it was. Dear Dr. Mazak, this is the email I promised. My dad did require me to break up with him. We're not getting married. I'm not allowed to date him anymore. And yet I'm fully aware that God will bless me and He will be glorified in my life. This is hard, but I know He will care for me. Thank you. God bless. I praise God again. That here is the Lord working in a girl, a young girl, that had that kind of wisdom, that she welcomes correction in her pursuit of having a life that pleases Jesus Christ. There are blessings for those who receive. I have no doubt that she's headed for a blessed life. There are blessings for those who receive instruction. On the other hand, there are some consequences. There are consequences of rejecting instruction. You say, what kind of consequences? Negative things taking place. Open up to Proverbs chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. And we'll see that rejecting instruction, who does it hurt? It hurts us. It's self-defeating. Proverbs 15, verse 32, he who neglects discipline, there's our word, instruction or discipline. He who neglects discipline despises himself. Same word there, that word discipline, that word instruction. And notice again, it's parallel, second part of the verse, with the word reproof. He who neglects, he who refuses, King James. Another translation has, he who ignores discipline. He despises himself. You say, what does that mean? The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translates it, he hates himself. You know, that's interesting. If I neglect instruction, I hate myself. Now, Paul in Ephesians 5 says, no man ever hateth his own flesh, but he nourisheth it and he cherisheth it. You say, what does that mean? Some of you were outside working yesterday, maybe cutting the grass, doing chores, and you were thirsty. And if your husband or your wife, parents or children came out and said, hey, dad, honey, whatever, you look thirsty. Would you like a drink of water? You would welcome it. You would say thank you and you would drink. That's what it means to love yourself. You welcome the opportunity to quench your thirst. When a person neglects instruction, it would be similar to being out on a hot day and you're very thirsty. Guys, maybe you're pushing a lawnmower. Let's say it's a push lawnmower. The grass is high. The sun is high and it's very warm. And your wife or one of the kids come out. Hey, dad, here's a glass of water. And you say, no. Dad, but you look kind of bad. Too bad. Dad, you may faint. So be it. Well, no, we would never say that because we love ourselves. But the Bible says that he who neglects discipline despises himself. When I turn away from people that are instructing me, what am I doing? I'm doing something that ultimately hurts me, not the other person. Right? Someone says to me, hey, Greg, I noticed something in your life. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I just thought maybe as a loving brother, I'd bring it up to you. I could say, oh, yeah, says you. But I'm not hurting him. I'm hurting me. I'm the one that would profit from it. You say, how would it hurt you? Well, let's go to the second point. Proverbs is very clear. Rejecting instruction brings poverty and shame. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13, please, and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. Poverty and shame. Now, nothing wrong with being poor. But notice it doesn't just say poverty. It says poverty and shame. So this person has a reason to be ashamed that he's poor. You say, why would he be ashamed to be poor? Because of why he's poor. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. I think we're all familiar with very sad stories of that young person who never obeyed mom and dad. That young person who maybe drops out of school early. That young person who, the next thing you know, he just goes from one job to another. That young person who never learns to go to bed on time, to wake up on time, to be at work on time and not leave early, to work hard, to obey his boss, to be kind to the other workers, to serve the customer, depending on the type of job you're in. These are things that we should be learning. And maybe if we're weak in one of those areas, somebody would correct us. But some reject it. And they turn their back on the correction. And we have people that are poor. And it is a moral problem. It's not an economic problem. It's a moral problem. They can't keep a job long enough to get out of debt. And it's a moral issue. I'm not saying all poverty is like that. It's not. There are people who, they have great work ethics, but God in His providence allowed some type of physical problem and they don't have the ability to stand up and walk around. They're bedridden. There are people who end up single parents through no fault of their own and they spend all of their time in child care and such, and there's poverty issues. Again, there are different reasons for being poor, but in this case, it's a person who did not receive instruction. If we are going to grow to be like Christ as God intends, we must be open to instruction. That includes when the word is preached. That includes when brothers and sisters speak with you. We must be open to instruction. Here's some practical helps. We'll finish with these this morning that come from Proverbs on things that we need to do so that we can be open to instruction. Three things to consider. Number one, seek wise counsel before making major decisions. Seek wise counsel before making major decisions. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, please. Proverbs chapter 20. Seek wise counsel before making decisions. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, it says, prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. We should be open. If you're making a big decision, be open. If you're thinking about changing jobs, be open. If you're thinking about selling your house and going somewhere else, be open. If you're deciding what to major in, be open. Be open to what godly people think. Especially if they have a biblical reason for what they think. Now, I want to be careful here. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm just going to quit my job, sell my house, and go to the mission field. And somebody says to you, I don't feel that's right. And you say, why? I don't know. I just have a feeling. To be honest, I'm not incredibly interested in how people feel from that standpoint because their feelings are not authoritative for me. But if someone says to me, Greg, what you're doing may not be wise because the Bible teaches such and such, I want to be very open to that. So we're not talking about just here's what I think, here's what I feel, but I don't know. We're talking about people that can give us a biblical reason why maybe I should do this or shouldn't do this, why I should do that, shouldn't do that. Be open to wise counsel. Seek wise counsel before making major decisions. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, we'll see the same thing. Something very similar. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. It's very easy for us to be convinced that what I'm doing is right. I know it's right. I don't need to check with anyone. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. If I'm convinced what I'm doing honors Christ, I should be very open to wise counsel. In fact, let's take it a step further. Second practical help. We should be willing to consider a multitude, the Bible says, numerous wise counselors. You say, why? Well, look over at Proverbs chapter 11. If you're still in 12, we'll look at Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. You say, what does that mean? If I have many counselors, a better chance that I'll succeed. Go over to chapter 15, and we'll look at verse 22 in Proverbs. Same basic concept. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. It's a good thing to get counsel from multiple people. One more, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. Let's turn there, please. And again, we'll see something very similar. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, for by wise guidance, again, you will wage war. And in abundance, here it is, abundance of counselors, there is victory. We should not only be open to wise counsel, we should consider a multitude of wise counselors. And finally, let's make sure that we're not influenced by the wrong kinds of counsel, which means don't listen to the counsel of wicked people. Turn to chapter 12 in Proverbs, and the last text we look at this morning will be verse 5. Proverbs 12 and verse 5. In Proverbs 12, verse 5, it says, the thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The counsels of wicked people, people who don't know Christ, the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. I think for most of us, we have people involved in our lives who actually even may love us, care about us, but they don't know Christ. And they are not good sources of counsel. And there are even some Christians at times, sad to say, who are more concerned about temporal safety, temporal health, and temporal finances than they are about the glory of Jesus Christ. We need to be identifying people that we respect spiritually, whose counsel we welcome, and getting counsel from those people, certainly not from wicked people. When I finished my PowerPoint presentation to our faculty, I was pleased with how the PowerPoint worked, simply meaning that when I clicked, it moved and the motion was right and that type of thing. And I was thankful that I had some compliments on it. And I was encouraged, so the next day when I had a chance, I went back to the former student of mine, the young lady, and I said to her, thanks. She said, how did it go? I said, well, I was pleased in the sense that the slides were right, the motion I wanted was right, everything mechanically worked well. I was a little bit concerned, but you helped me. And I said, even more than that, you gave me some good ideas I didn't even ask for. And I think it was a better presentation because of your help. I told her, thank you. She said, I went home and I talked to my mom that night, a couple nights ago. She said, Mom, I can't tell you how happy I am. And her mom said, what are you talking about? She said, there's a faculty member I used to have as a teacher. And he asked me for help, but I did more than give him help. I made some constructive suggestions about his slides, and he took them, and he was very thankful. And she looked at me, and her eyes were moist. And she said, I've noticed that in a lot of people with PhDs, they tend to be proud and arrogant, and they haven't been open to my criticisms in the past. Thank you, Dr. Mazak, for being different. And I went, wow. Wow. Those aren't my words. Those are her words. There's a lot of people with PhDs that are proud and arrogant and wouldn't be open to a young woman's input. And who's the loser? Well, they are. Because they would lose the opportunity to grow in that area. When we don't make ourselves open to wise counsel, we are the ones who fail to live for Christ as much as we possibly could. That's what we've seen this morning in Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us a Word that provides us with instruction, that corrects us, Lord, at times as we read it, in our private times, in our family times. Lord, that rebukes us when we hear it preached. Father, we thank You that You've given us the Holy Spirit that illumines our mind to the Word. And Father, we thank You that we've been able to consider Your Word this morning. Lord, all of us who know You, Father, our desire is to please You. We want to do better at bringing You glory. Father, we frequently fail miserably. And we thank You for all the times You forgive us. And yet, Lord, You know our heart, that we do want to do better at the very thing You've called us to do, which is to bring You glory. Lord, we pray that You would help us to be open to Your Word, to be more open to Your Word, to be open to the counsel of wise brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, that You would change us so much that we would actually love those who correct us as we seek to have lives that would please You. Lord, this is so contrary to how we naturally feel and normally think. And we fully acknowledge that this would only be possible by a supernatural work of grace in our lives. And so we come to You, Father, humbly asking You to work in our lives that it might be so, that we would be open to correction. For Your glory, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.